70 hours per week of Houston's best local sports talk. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC at KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
900 as Tucker gets into one, deep to right center field, all the way back to the wall. Gone, Kyle Tucker! Home run number 26 on the year. A three-hit night for Tucker makes it 7-1.
So, did you see what the Astros put out last night? Mark Berman put it on his Twitter page. That since May 2nd, Kyle Tucker has been just unbelievable. He leads the majors with a .331 batting average, ranks second in the AL with a .984 OPS. He trails Vlad Guerrero, .984 in OPS, and directly ahead of Shohei Ohtani, .970 on the season. His .896 OPS ranks sixth in the AL. He is really, really, really good right now. Kyle Tucker.
That's how you let George go.
Yeah, and listen, we made fun of Jeff Luhnow when he wouldn't get rid of Forrest.
But he wouldn't get rid of Tucker either. I mean,
and we were all like, dude,
it was
really
a bad look at one point where Tucker looked like he was 117 pounds is what he looked like.
His first time up, he didn't look good.
Oh, he looked like he was completely overmatched by Major League pitching for a while. And then all of a sudden, the talent started popping, and that's why you trust guys like Jeff Luhnow and hopefully Click as well, that they recognize the talent. Jake Myers obviously has developed into quite a talent as well up to this point. But that's how you do it. If you want to build a good team and sustain it, I always thought that, you know, the Eagles and the Patriots and the Steelers, not as much Steelers lately, but the best way to do it is you see somebody getting ready to leave, you don't pay them a stupid contract, you draft and develop behind them. And it takes longer in baseball, and I think the hit rate is less maybe than football, for example. But that's how you do it. Pedro Leon, you turn him, we're taking him from the outfield, we're going to move him to shortstop. We're going to develop him because guess what? It's probably because they're going to let Carlos Correa go. And so they're already looking to draft and develop. In that case, did they acquire him? Oh, no. They didn't draft him, but they got him as a free agent.
I love Carlos. And I got a buddy who's really, really close to him, like best friends with him. And you know what? I'd love to see him stay. But I don't want the Astros to tie up all that money with him.
It limits them.
It really does. And you know what? The biggest need for this team, I mean, the hitting is the best. It's the best hitting team. If Pedro Leon comes around, if Jake Myers continues to rake, if you can play McCormick after Brantley goes two, if Jose Siri can actually do this at a major league level for an extended period of time, I mean, you're set there. You got Bregman who's tied up. You've got you probably got to get better behind the plate, which is something that the Astros have always had to do. But you need pitching. You got to have starting pitching right now. And to tie up that money that you're loosening up with Verlander and Greinke this offseason in Carlos Correa just doesn't make sense. It's not a good baseball move.
Well, some people would say, what about can't you pay Verlander's salary to Carlos? But I get it. In the short term, you could. But in the long term, it's a concern because it is going to have an impact on – because at some point – you got to look at when's the year that Yordan's getting paid. When's the year that Tucker's getting paid?
They're both getting, and you know what? They're younger. They've been healthier. Well, I can't say that about Yordan or Tucker's had a few issues as well. But I'm gonna put my money into a starting pitch because hey, Fromber's gonna come due too. McCullers just came due. Or you're gonna have to pay. You got better than middle of the road. This is the best rotation in baseball, quite possibly, but you got nobody at the top. You need that horse at the top of the rotation. So it's deep. You'll go six deep, But you need a guy that you is a what you call a stopper. When you got a 2-game losing streak, that guy goes and he gets you that win.
Well, you're in, but who are you going to pay? But I think ultimately you're going to have fans. Now, you're just saying, because at some point the going rate, this is the problem. You and I talked about it on a Sportsman video. The going rate for top young talent, it's going to be $30 million plus, and it's going to be a long-term deal. I think 8 years is the starting point for the top end talent. Do you ever see the Astros doing that? I don't, and I'm not sure.
I do for a pitcher.
You do? I'm not sure that I think I'm okay with them not doing that for a pitcher. It's the same issue. All of a sudden, what if the guy has Tommy John? Depending on the timing, you could end up missing him for a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And then does he come back the same? I mean, well, I don't.
Even
love
if it's a 5-year deal, you could lose him for a year
eight
and a half.
8-year deals for anybody that's guaranteed money. Is problematic.
If you've got a horse that's a younger Scherzer or a Kershaw or a Cole, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. As long as it's that level, I don't mind. You know what? You're going to lose a year and a half of him if he's a 5-year deal or a 4-year deal. So you lose a year and a half of him, you lose a year and a half of him. You lost a year and a half of Verlander. Would you have not done the deal? You've lost more than that. You've lost 2 full years of Verlander. Well, would you have not done that deal?
I think Justin obviously is a little different deal, but he's also an older player. I mean, you know, you're getting down to, he's been a very healthy player, but at some point everyone starts to break down for the most part. And you're in that territory with Justin Verlander. Anybody that signs him after this, if he comes back, they're going to be in that same position where you have to know that older pitchers start to break down. But Do you think the Astros will be a team that gives an 8-plus-year deal to somebody who's not their own? Because once you do that for somebody who's not your own, you piss off guys in your own locker room. That's just the truth that I've heard.
Not if he's a guy that puts you over the top, you don't. Not if he's a guy that puts you over. If he's a horse, if you go out and you get a Cole, now the Yankees are a different situation because they've got a lot of guys that are making money. But I don't see anybody would be pissed off that you went out and bought Cole bought Scherzer.
I think in the Astros locker room they would, unless Cole was the guy you brought in for 2 years.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Cole that left.
I think that'd be a problem with the Astros, and that's because they would say, wait, we couldn't get George paid, we couldn't get Carlos paid, but somebody else who hasn't even been here, part of our group, that we've busted our ass for you, you're paying this guy. What if the guy, and the guy's got to fit great. Number one, he's got to fit great, but I know... I remember Jerry Angelo telling me that the biggest issue he had in Chicago, and I can't remember who the player was, or maybe it was when he was in Tampa, was when you pay somebody else from another team and you don't take care of the guys that are in your own locker room, it becomes a major sticking point in locker rooms because their whole thing is, wait a minute, we're all family here. How are you not taking care of family?
Yeah, no, I don't.
I don't think it doesn't work like that.
Give us the best chance to win. The core is still here. They understand the business side of it. You got rid of Springer, that's fine. You got rid of Correa, that's fine. But give us the best chance. You go out and get a horse that's at the top of the rotation. Ain't nobody going to go, no. That is not how it works.
I will make you any bets you want that the Astros will not sign.
Well, there is. Here's the problem.
An 8-year deal.
First of all, there is none. That guy isn't out there this year.
Not this year.
He's not out there. So what about signing Verlander to 2 years, 50?
Man.
You know what? I'd rather do that than Correa 8 years, 240.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Yep.
And that's nothing against Carlos. I mean, Carlos is going to be better over the longer term. But based on, you're not deficient in your lineup. It's not even a comment on Carlos Correa. It's like, what can you afford to give up? You have so much of it. It's why we didn't have anything against Straw. But you weren't deficient at center field any longer. You had a surplus, and you have a surplus of hitting for the Astros right now. And because of that, you could afford to lose a Carlos Correa, and potentially consider signing now Verlander 2 at 50. It's the same concern now for me that I had a while ago. Is are you okay with Justin Verlander making $50 million over 2 years at this age?
Yeah.
Are you convinced he'll be healthy and pitch? Because you've already given him how much? $66 million.
Listen, guys, come back better after Tommy John. He's an older player. He hasn't, the last 2 years, he hasn't lost any tread off the tire. He still is Justin Verlander.
Well, he's lost age. He's lost probably muscle strength.
You thought that
he's getting close to 40.
You thought Charlie F. and Morton was done, and Charlie F. and Morton had a lot left in that.
I didn't think Charlie F. and Morton was done.
Well,
I
the Astros weren't going to give him 15, another 15. No, but the Rays did, and guess what? It paid off.
I don't think I would. Justin Verlander has had a lot more innings than Morton on his arm.
Right.
And now all of a sudden.
Now he's had 2 years off.
He's had 2 years off, but that's also 2 years of. His muscle strength is going to decline. Like, he's going to age. You know, aging does. Your testosterone lowers. Your lean muscle mass starts to diminish. It's harder to keep it on.
Right now, because Verlander will pitch 2 more years.
If he plays.
He's going to play.
Why do you think that?
Because he's going to come back.
What, did Ben Verlander say that? Did Ben address that yesterday?
Did Ben address that yesterday? Whether or not Verlander is going to come back?
Well, here's Ben Verlander giving an update right here. His brother, Ben Verlander, is a baseball analyst for... He's the brother of Justin Verlander. He's a baseball analyst for MLB, Fox's MLB coverage. Here's Ben Verlander talking about Justin's status.
You know, it's one of those situations where with the timing of when the surgery came last year, the writing was kind of on the wall. And, you know, it's a situation where you don't really want to push it. And, you know, it's Tommy John surgery. And in this day and age, you kind of know what you're going to get. Hopefully, it's not a career-ending thing anymore. It's just a long, long process. So we kind of knew when it happened and went from when he got the surgery that the writing was on the wall. It was always a long shot for him, I think, to come back this year. But just with him being who he is and wanting to pitch again for the city of Houston, I feel like the thought was there for a little while, but I don't think it was ever a super realistic expectation.
He wasn't coming back this year, but he's coming back next year. And I'm going to tell you this. Over the next 2 seasons, Justin Verlander will have, I'm going to put the under over, 2 years, Justin Verlander, 31 wins over the next 2 years.
I'll go under.
I'm going over.
Yeah, I think that's just too. That's too many at that age. That's hard. What was it before when he was perfectly healthy and younger?
Justin Verlander wins games, brother. He wins games. Okay.
I mean, you were really thinking that isn't a thing.
No, it's not nearly as what it used to. But not nearly what it used to be. And oh, by the way,
he's 39 this February. Yeah, by the time he pitches, he's 39 and 40, and you're giving him $50 million, expecting him to win 31 games in 2 years. That's got to be the underdog. That's a long shot. Not a long shot, but that's definitely not the favorite.
Oh, no.
That's the underdog him to do that.
But you know what? I think Justin Verlander is going to come back, and Justin Verlander is going
to
be really good.
You just want to continue to pay Justin Verlander forever. You want him a tenured position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim Crane's like,
let's just be honest. He wants to be in the same city as Kate Upton.
She's got a pancake booty.
He likes it.
He likes it. His wife.
Does not matter to you anymore? When did this stop mattering to you?
Heart.
Is that a pancake?
Heart.
No.
Is that a pancake? When did that stop mattering to you as a person?
She's great. She's fine. That's his wife. All right? Yeah. Stop ogling his wife.
You called her pancake booty.
Well, I'm not ogling her, am I? Like you.
So Justin has been 16, 15, 16, 21. So, yeah. I mean.
That's right in the neighborhood.
Then he had. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, those are wins. And then technically he got the win. I didn't realize that. When he got hurt.
He got the win. 6 innings.
How did he get the win? 3 innings.
He went 6 innings.
No.
Didn't he go for 6 innings his first start?
3 innings. Oh, or is that an ERA?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. Six innings. Yeah, you're right. 6 innings, 3 hits.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I'll go under 31.
No, she's not.
Read that.
814 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. All right, we'll take a look at the pitchers that are going to be out there.
What about 2 years,
and
$60 million?
None of them are 8 year guys.
What
none
about 2 years, $60 million for Justin Verlander? You doing that? $30 million
ain't
a year?
My money. I don't give a rat's
ass. I mean, you paid $130 million.
I'll spend Jim Crane's
$130 million for 4 years.
Yeah.
Two of the years he doesn't even play.
66 and 60, $126 million.
It could go down as one of the great thefts of all time.
Yeah.
Contract if he doesn't do it the second contract.
Oh, you know what? People in the city of Houston don't work and get paid? Okay.
John Wall's going to be like, man, I can't believe that man's getting paid.
People in the city of Houston work and don't get paid. Huh? Deshaun's like, I love that for Justin. Let's
secure your bag.
So you think 31 is the underdog?
Yeah, underdog fantasy. That might be something one day they throw a toll on. Typically, they do have the if you go to the Pick'ems, and I want to talk about Pick'ems right now because this is a really cool feature. In Pick'em, you can pick the over-unders for all these different football players, baseball players. I'll give you an example. Right now, oh, wow, they've also got it in we also have it in the in soccer. Wow, so they got soccer on here as well. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, talented wide receiver for Washington, 73.5 receiving yards is the over-under. He's going against the Giants, pretty good defense. You got a young quarterback in Taylor Heineke in there, a quarterback and a relatively inexperienced. I'm going to actually go under 73.5 yards for Terry McLaurin. Now what I have to do is tie up just one more, get two all the way up to five, and if you hit two through five, you win a multiplier of whatever you play. So if you put a $100 play out there and you pick three players over-unders and you hit all three, for example, that would pay you $600. And yes, this is all going on right now at underdogfantasy.com. Play daily fantasy. Play season-long basketball coming up soon. You'll be able to get into your season-long basketball fantasy, or you can take advantage of Pick'ems and rivalries that are right there on the website. It's a site that's got the money behind it with Mark Cuban and Kevin Durant behind it. This is an up-and-coming site that is doing great things, and I'm having a ton of fun on it. Underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Aaron, 713-780-3776. A bit long conversation about the pitching and free agency and all that stuff going on right now with our Houston Astros. Man, it sure would be nice. But what would be your number one? So Scherzer's going to be available. Is it Kershaw? Are they working out a deal with Kershaw?
He said he's expecting to be back in L.A., but
I don't know if I'm not giving him $30 million a year. I'm just not anymore. Scherzer's another story. He's 37, and I think he's still got a bunch left in that tank. But you're not giving him an eight-year deal.
No. He feels like it. He'll probably want 4 years.
He might get $40 million over 3 years or 4 years.
You have to have them play well.
To me, of any guy in the majors, that's the guy I want in game one.
You feel more confident, yeah.
Yeah.
You feel more confident.
That's the guy I want in game one of any. I don't care. You can have everybody else in the league. I'll take
so
that
who
guy.
Are the list? Who are some players that we could look at? Even if it's not an 8-year deal, which I'm glad it's not.
Greinke,
who are guys that could be Astros?
Greinke, no thanks. No, that's done. Trevor Bauer, how'd you like to do that?
No thanks. We've already got enough.
Justin Verlander, we've talked about that.
So Verlander, Dustin makes a good point. He's probably going to go to Detroit. He said he wants to retire in Detroit. Kate Upton and he have AJ Hinch is there.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a tie to AJ Hinch.
Well, AJ was his manager.
Oh yeah, I mean,
was his manager. He said he wanted to retire.
Oh, yeah,
in
I guess
Detroit.
A couple of years. Yeah.
So a World Series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I guess. But I don't. I think Carlos would be more of a target for them than Justin Verlander.
Although how about both of them?
Now, whether or not they'll spend the money for Justin and or whatever the case may be, Clayton Kershaw.
Nah, I mean. You're probably overpaying for what you get.
Clayton Kershaw, no thank you. Max Scherzer, yes.
Yeah, but there's going to be so much competition, you won't win that.
Johnny Cueto?
No.
Here's one. Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, Gausman's legit. How old is Gausman now?
Gausman is
right in the wheelhouse.
Oh, no. He's 30 years old.
That's perfect. It's perfect. You can grow old with Gausman. 5-year deal?
I could, yeah.
Five-year deal?
Oh, no, he'll probably command 75
million. He just turned 30.
Yeah, he just turned 30. No, he'll be 30.7 when he's a free agent.
5 times 27. So two.
Now he's only expected This is what they estimate the market value for him is 22. I'll give him 25 over
No,
six.
I'm thinking it's going to be 25. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give him a $150 million deal.
Six at 25?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're paying top dollar, but you're going to have to pay, I think, to get him.
Dude, he is lights out. He's one of the big reasons the Giants are where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's huge. He's got a 2.65 ERA. It's in the National League, but still. He's 14-5 with a 2.65. He's pitched 170 innings. He's got 200 strikeouts already. 201 strikeouts already in 170 innings. Thank you. Yes. He's 4-1 on strikeout walk to strikeout to walk. I'll take me some Kevin Gausman this year, and I don't have to give him $30 million. Hopefully, that would be something that would be very interesting. That would be something that you could sink your teeth into. Having Kevin Gausman,
I like the Kevin Gausman, and provided he's got the spin rate they like, because clearly they have certain elements about your game that they want, but Gausman feels like an Astros fit.
We're talking about a guy that has 201 strikeouts already. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on that.
Yeah, Gausman feels like a guy who would be a target.
Stroman, nah.
Not really.
He's only pitched 11 games this year.
No, not Stroman.
Who else? Starting pitching. Kikuchi. I don't know about
just
that.
Just for you.
I don't know about that. What I don't know whether or not I could do that for a whole year or more. I don't know if we could, if I could every fifth day say it the right way.
You kind of know you couldn't.
That would be.
Wendy is praying that he doesn't come to Houston.
Kikuchi. Is that a swear word? Corey Kluber?
No.
No thanks. Drew Smiley? He's been, no, thanks.
Hasn't he been relieving lately?
I
think his last couple outings, either that or he's getting roughed up in the first inning the last few outings.
I'd say that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all in on Gausman?
Michael Pineda, Garrett Richards, Noah Syndergaard.
No, they're more likely to go out there and get one of those guys. The guys that you're about to read, the Astros are more likely to add one of those guys. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
They're not going to go after the top guys. They rarely do. In free agency, they never do. They've only done it twice, and it's been in trades.
Right. Yeah, Syndergaard, Syndergaard, forget about it. Syndergaard's always been. He's always hurt. Forget about that.
What about a couple of reclamation projects like a John Gray or a Michael Lorenzen?
I'll tell you who was a great reclamation project this year was Robbie Ray. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That dude turned it around.
What about Wade Miley became a reclamation project outside? Usually it's a Stromer special.
Yeah. I mean, if you can find, and especially with Stromy, I mean, if you can find a guy that's got great spin and has just lost it, And Stromy can turn him around, that would be totally, totally sweet. But you still need, you got to have that horse at the top. You still got to have that horse at the top.
I don't know that they're going to have it.
You watch. Jim Crane's going to say, go out and get him. Go out and get him because this window ain't closed. Hey, Tulane has been in the news. Louisville, let's talk some college football on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got some college football stuff to do.
Let's talk some Mama John.
Well, that's what we're going to do with Jeff Aronoff. And he's not really Italian, so that's different. He is a guy, though, that is going to be able to come to your home and business and make it better. And that's kind of a big deal since I don't know how much you have spent. Usually, your biggest investment of your life is going to be your home. And if you have a business, I mean, we're watching a guy who is opening up his business right now, and our buddy Raul Cobos Q, and putting so much into that thing. If you've put your life and soul into your business, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. You got to upgrade it. If you've been in business for 5, 10, 15 years, and you haven't done anything to upgrade that business, to make it look better, to make it look newer, to make it look richer with marble and granite and tile, with your countertops, with your vanities, then call Jeff Aronoff and let him come in, overhaul it, and make it better. Because you're just not going to continue to make the money off of that thing if it's old and dilapidated. Give him a call. Let Jeff Aronoff come and get this job done for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pat Forty joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's senior writer for Sports Illustrated. And you can see him with Dan Wetzel and Pete Thamel. They do a little podcast thing going over there that is really, really good. And I watched some of it the other day. Pete and Dan Wetzel are making the case for Bill O'Brien at USC. Bill O'Brien is a Northeasterner that is an in-your-face kind of guy. Does he fit the California mold?
I think he can. I don't think that you can necessarily say, well, you need somebody who is a Californian for that job, you know, or a SoCal guy or anything like that. I think you go out and get the right guy, and I think Bill O'Brien's smart enough that he would figure out that you can't necessarily coach everybody the way you were coaching the Patriots or the Texans. I think he's a really good offensive mind, and I think he did a very good job at Penn State, an underrated job there. I don't think it would be one of those things where the fit would be that problematic. I mean, if everybody needed to echo the ethos of where they were from, Nick Saban wouldn't have ever been hired at Alabama, and Urban Meyer wouldn't have been hired at Florida, and so on and so forth. You can find a lot of people who were not necessarily from where they ended up doing great work.
No, I'm curious, though. I had a discussion with a USC friend of mine, and we were talking about the fork in the road where the USC decided to go with Clay Helton over Ed Orgeron, who was the interim coach who did a really nice job before he went to LSU. He's still convinced that even though it didn't work out with Clay Helton, he just didn't think Ed Orgeron would have worked out at USC. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think Ed Orgeron caught an incredible amount of lightning in a bottle in one season at LSU, and otherwise I'm not sure I've seen a whole lot of evidence that he's a great head coach. He ended up with a generationally excellent quarterback, a really talented up-and-coming offensive coordinator, three first-round talent wide receivers. And, you know, the recruiting, give him credit for the recruiting part of that, but without them, since Joe Burrow left and Joe Brady left, it's been ugly, and it wasn't great before then. And I look at Ed Orgeron, and I don't see somebody who brings a lot of scheme expertise to the table. I think he's more of a CEO type, and I'm not sure he's a very stable CEO. So I don't think he would have been the answer at USC either.
No, Dave Aranda and Joe Brady certainly were great hires and perfect for that team at that point. And it just certainly hasn't been anywhere close since. Pat Forty with us, senior writer for Sports Illustrated on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's 14.5 points enough points for you to take Florida over Alabama?
No, I don't think so. I was the one who was dumb enough at first to think that Miami could cover against Alabama. So I refuse to take the points with anybody against Alabama until I've seen some element of weakness in them. Florida's intriguing, especially the freshman quarterback, Anthony Richardson, who, you know, hopefully is going to be 100%. He had a little bit of a tweaked hamstring, but what a talent that guy is. And I think you need extraordinary athletic talents to hang with Alabama. But I don't know whether their defense has progressed enough. You know, last year that was a pretty weak unit. This year they've got probably a top 10 pick in cornerback Kair Elam. But other than that, I still don't think that unit's going to be able to slow down Alabama very much.
You excited at all, Pat, as a college football guy, about I know Nebraska's not a factor like they used to be, but Nebraska and Oklahoma hooking up again?
Boy, I sure wish Nebraska could hold up its end of the bargain a little bit. Look, I grew up in Colorado in Big Eight days, and
right.
Watching Nebraska and Oklahoma play on Thanksgiving weekend was an absolute must. You know, they'd play on that rock-hard artificial turf at either place, and it would be gray and cold, but they'd run both of them would run the great option schemes, and I mean, that was big-time football, and I would love to see it come back, but I mean, Nebraska is such a shell of itself at this point. I just hope Nebraska can stay on the field with them long enough to make it a game.
Pat Forty here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He is with us every week. Is Sark, is he gripping a little bit? Is he pulling the string on Cutson Hard too, card too fast?
I don't know. I mean, I think it seemed like it was pretty close competition coming in, so... You know, I don't look at it as a panic move. I think you look at it as, well, I mean, the next guy we're not going to be too much worse than we were against Arkansas, and I'm not saying that's all on the quarterback or all on the offense even, but let's try something else because that was embarrassing. That was really bad, and so I think you give Casey Thompson a shot, and it may be one of those things where they go back and forth throughout the season. If whoever's playing well, whose skill set fits best against which opponent, that sort of thing. That's not ideal by any stretch, but that just might be where they are at this point. So I don't think it's necessarily a panic move. I think it's just, hey, we should try something else because whatever we did against Arkansas was terrible.
What did you think about the fit of Sarkisian with that University of Texas program when it was initially announced?
I wasn't sold. You know, I mean, Sark's record as a head coach was mediocre, you know. I mean, given the jobs he had. He had Washington, he had USC. I mean, his record was, he won more than he lost, but he never won a division, never won a conference, you know, and those are places that are pretty good programs. So, you know, he had some personal challenges that might have held him back. And, you know, I think that he's taken care of that to a degree. And you go coach for Nick Saban and what he did with those teams was very impressive, but you're also not working now with the best offensive line in college football and a top 5 or top 15 quarterback and a first round running back. You probably are with a first round running back with Bijan Robinson, but you know, and Devontae Smith, a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he had overwhelming talent last year, and he doesn't necessarily have it this year. But I was not sold that he was the guy that you go ahead and blow up everything for at Texas.
Is Alabama going to be that school where Lane Kiffin has had some success since he left, but is it going to be should we be looking at that a little bit like we looked at where Nick Saban is the Tom Brady, where guys who came from the New England offense, when they went out and got their own jobs after being coordinators, were really not the same guy that they saw with Tom Brady? Is this kind of similar with Nick Saban when you coach with him?
It could be. We'll see. I mean, like, Kiffin maybe he has a breakthrough team this year at Ole Miss. But, I mean, Mike Locksley's done okay at Maryland. Sark, TBD. I mean, there's no guarantee. And I do think, Saban is, in my opinion, is the greatest college football coach of all time. I would have said that he had some competition until the last couple of years, and now I'd say there is no competition. And he could be one of those people that when you are around him, everything you do is better because he makes it better. And when you don't have that that guiding hand or that force of will as much as anything, then yeah, you are who you are. So that's possible, that could be one of those things where we'll find out if in a hurry and perhaps in a bad way with Sark, but maybe he will step up and rise to the occasion here.
We might have. It looks like we could actually have some different teams in the playoffs now that Clemson and Ohio State have both lost. Do you still what kind of odds are you putting on Ohio State and Clemson still making it?
Yeah, no, it's interesting that they are there. We could be having a little bit of fresh blood or at least some fresh storylines at this point. You know, I mean, those two aren't in the top five, so that's new and that's different. I think Clemson. I'll be shocked if they're not 11-1 going to the ACC championship game, but they're not going to have much in the way of quality wins. And then on Ohio State side, they could absolutely be 11-1 going to the Big Ten championship game. Now, they've got, I think, a little tougher schedule. They've obviously got Penn State. Michigan, we'll see if they're legit or not. And Iowa could be better than Ohio State. We'll see how it all washes out by the end here. But, I would say right now, the Big Ten champion has a better chance of getting in than the ACC champion. But the Big Ten champion has effectively been boxed out by Oregon. Like, if Oregon mm-hmm. can keep going, they're getting in ahead of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They may both get in, ultimately, but that's kind of the way the pecking order has been set right now. Obviously, a million games need to be played, but it's kind of an interesting dynamic that we're going to be watching here for the next, 13 weeks.
Well, I tell you, Pac-12 looks better than it has in a long time, with UCLA taking care of LSU, Oregon taking care of Ohio State. The Colorado, that front that they've got, given Texas A&M all they could handle, the Pac-12 is having a little bit of a resurgence early.
Yeah, some. It's been kind of a mixed bag, but in the past, it hadn't even been mixed. It's just all been bad the last couple of years. This year, they had the Pac-12 North had some bad losses, and USC's already fired their coach. But you do have that. UCLA with a major, major victory over LSU, and then Oregon with the biggest victory that anybody's had in the Pac-12 in 7 years. So those are huge, huge, chips in their corner at this point. So what they need, what the Pac-12 needs more than anything, is for both those teams to keep winning, and then they will play each other in the Rose Bowl October 23rd, and they need that game to be a big deal, and then maybe there's a rematch between them for the Pac-12 championship.
Absolutely. That's Pat Forty right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before you go, Urban Ryan is not used to losing. He's going to lose a lot this year. He said no way to USC. You buying it?
Well, we're all best off never believing Urban Meyer, but even by his standards, this would be really bad form, to go take your first NFL job, and he would have to bail by like December 1st, probably at the latest. I just don't see it. You've got Trevor Lawrence there. You might as well ride this out. And I know he's a terrible loser who is not used to losing. And he was probably arrogant enough to think he wasn't going to lose this year. And boy, that looks like it's not going to be the case. But still, there's got to be some rational thought in that weird brain of his that says, I'm in this for the long haul with Trevor Lawrence. Let's see how it plays out.
Pat Forty, right here every week, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great stuff. Dana Holgorsen next right here. Don't you go anywhere. Pat, thanks. We appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
There he is, Pat Forty on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. While he was talking about Alabama.
I was looking at some numbers.
I was not only looking at him, I already bet him.
You did on my bookie.
I bet Alabama.
As soon as you heard him say that, yeah. I think that's the point.
Yeah, and I think everything. Florida falls behind. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to throw the ball, not against that Alabama defense. So it could get ugly. And so what did I do? I went to write to mybookie.ag, and if you go to mybookie.ag, put in promo code bet975. You're going to play, you're going to win, you're going to get paid, and they will double your deposit. Now, you say, well, I'm already on mybookie.ag. It's okay. You can, whatever you deposit right now, they're going to double. They will double that right now at mybookie.ag. It doesn't matter if you're a current client, you used to be a client, you've never been a client, all of those things. Everybody gets their deposit doubled up to $1,000 right now at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. It's awesome because you get free plays. You get free plays all the time. I continually play my free plays. And you know what? That is totally sweet to just get. And yeah, I lose a lot of them. That's what I do. But you know what? At least I got, they didn't cost me anything because they were free. If you're looking for a great way to play, win, get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. They got everything you could possibly want to play, casino, horse racing, live betting, everything at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Joined right now by the head coach of the Houston Cougars. Big win last week over Rice. Got it back on the right track. Looked pretty darn good. Brought to you by our friends over at HRP and Damaris Barbecue. You love both of those guys. Mike Holly, obviously a big Coug. HRP, big sponsor. And, of course, our good friend Yanni, Frankie, Billy, everybody over at Damaris Barbecue. You're looking for a great place to go watch the Cougs or any other game. Get on over there, 290 and 610. Dana, welcome back to the show. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just getting ready to play another game here. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. I'm glad you sound very interested to be here. Nice job last week. That was a scary game. I know before the season. I mean, Rice is Mike Blomgren has done a nice job. And I know before the season you were talking about them. Hey, that's a much improved team. But you guys went in there and you dominated from the start. That had what you had to be pretty pleased with the complete effort, no?
Yeah, I was. You know, we had a lot going on last week, a lot to play for. I had everybody in the media talking bad about us and everything. Forgot how to play, forgot how to coach in the second half against a pretty good Texas Tech team. So, you know, all the playing for a trophy, the Bayou Bucket, you know, Mike Blomgren over there at Rice is doing a heck of a job. They were motivated, and they had a lot of confidence there. You know, they had won 5 out of their last 9 games. They last year had a big win to end the season up at Marshall, which Marshall's really good. Went up there and played well at Arkansas. So they had a lot going for them. They had a lot of confidence. They truly thought they were going to win, you know, and give those guys credit for having the confidence to feel like that. So we were playing for quite a bit. You know, I had all the Big 12 stuff come out and everything, which doesn't affect the 2021 Houston Cougar football team. It's great for the future and everything, but we had a lot to play for, you know, and challenged the team and went out and played good. That's the best that our entire team has looked and played since I've been here.
You guys got after the quarterback this time around with Rice. What are your, in terms of, you know, you lost Peyton Turner. You've lost some guys who are some impact players off last year's team, both on both sides of the ball. Kind of curious what your thoughts are on how you see your pass rush moving forward and the level of importance for that one to develop early on in the season.
Well, we didn't lose a whole lot, honestly. You know, Peyton Turner played in 3 games last year and played well. He was an impact player, but played in 3 of our 8 games that we played last year. You know, and just in wild people in the draft process, really wild people, and ended up being a first-round draft pick, deservingly so. Lost Grant Stewart, which played a lot for us. Lost Marquez Stevenson and Braylon Jones, who's playing center for the Cowboys. Other than that, we didn't lose anybody. You know, so got a pretty experienced team coming back. You know, from a pass rush perspective, to answer your question, Logan Hall was our player of the game. He looks just like Peyton Turner to me. Plays 3 technique, not 5 technique. Didn't do much in the first game because we had to put him at end because we lost a guy. But got everybody else back, you know. So we got after Rice a little bit. You know, they don't want to sit back there and throw it a good bit. We jumped on them 17-0 and kind of got them out of their game a little bit. They scored before half. Our second quarter stunk last week. Got them back in the game 17-7. Had all the momentum at halftime. Was really proud of our guys. Said all the right stuff at halftime. Went out there and went on a 7.5-minute drive and scored and went up 24-7 and just really kind of got them out of their game. So they had to throw it a little bit. We got some pressure on the quarterback. You know, Logan Hall is our player of the game, but we had 2 or 3 other guys get back there and get sacks as well. Yeah,
one of the guys was Latrell Bankston, who came over from Iowa State. Talk a little bit about Latrell Bankston. He came over this year as his first year at U of H. What he brings to the table.
He's just a big, thick nose, you know, that has got experience. You know, JUCO kid. He's originally out of Georgia. JUCO kid. Went to Iowa State. Just didn't like Iowa, which I understand that. I grew up there and kind of feel the same way about it. But, you know, so he came down here, wanted to get back into the South. Didn't play well the first game against Tech. was disappointed in that. So I did much of a job here this past week. You know, he's a big, thick kid that can hold the point, hold the double team, but has pass rushing abilities as well. I mean, with most nose guys, you don't have pass rushing abilities. And you know why I think we're going to be pretty good up front and be able to get after the quarterback is they have him at a one technique and Logan Hall at a three technique. You get pass rush with just your base four down. So, David Anini can come off the edge. Derek Parrish can come off the edge. And then when you have those two big guys inside, you got a chance to be okay.
Dana Olgerson with us, brought to you by HRP and Damaris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You may be the perfect guy for the transition from the American into the Big 12. You did it already with West Virginia, Big East into the Big 12. And you said, you know, we had to go out and get a different kind of football player. Is it similar to that, or are you more ready with U of H with these guys than you were with West Virginia?
I don't see how it could be any different. It would probably be a trivia question at some point down the road. But, it's going to be a lot of work. I can't let it be a distraction. The only thing that matters is 2021 football and taking it game by game. We got a big game Saturday night against a Grambling team that's scrappy and has won 70% of their games that they've played over the last 100 years or whatever it is. Which I'm really not joking on that. I mean, you talk about third winningest coach of all time and Eddie Robinson, Doug Williams followed him up. But they've only had like five coaches in the last 80 or 90 years, and they've won 70% of their games. So we got to worry about that, and then get into American Conference play after that. I mean, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we got to do. I mean, it changed how we recruited. It changed how we fundraise. It changed how we think about facilities. It changed what our non-conference schedule is going to be like. It changed what our staffing pool is going to be with how many people we have. It was a ton of work up at that other place that I was at. It took about 4 or 5 years to get it to where we were on the same equal playing field as the people that we were playing against in our conference. It's going to be the same thing here. So we're excited about it. Going to be a lot of work, and I just can't let it affect our 2021 football team.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, so tell us about Grambling. On Saturday, what do you see on tape?
Well, this is a big weekend for University of Houston. We're celebrating our 75th year of athletics. I think football has been a part of 73 of those years, but athletics has been around here at the University of Houston for 75 years and just keeps getting better. So we're gonna celebrate that Friday night. There's a big gala at the Post Oak. We're busting out some throwback uniforms on Saturday to celebrate what's been happening here at the University of Houston. So it's a big game for us. We haven't played on that field since late October, just because of, basically we didn't play anywhere in November last year. And then, hadn't really played and, only played there twice last year. So to be back at home for TDECU Stadium is exciting to our team. Being able to have fans is exciting to our team, and family coming back to be able to be a part of just a college football game here at the University of Houston is something that's exciting. Grambling's, like I said, Grambling. Broderick Fobbs, their head coach, has been there for 7 years. Has won 72% of their games. They've won 4 SWAC championships in the last 6 years or whatever. So. These guys are used to winning, and it's an opportunity for us to be able to get better. So couldn't be more excited about playing Saturday at 6.
That's Dana Holgerson right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by HR&P and by Damaris Barbecue. Dana, man, good job on Saturday night, and best of luck this Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Yep.
All right, there's Dana Holgerson right here, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Taking one here, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts? Still ahead, bottom of the hour, we are going, or actually in about 15 minutes, we're going to hear about what to do this weekend according to Culture Map right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.